Hello.
Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Andy Lopez, the invisible gardener, has been helping folks from around the world, and he can help you too. Listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can just listen, or you can call in and talk directly to the Invisible Gardener right here on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic. That's Don't Panic, It's Organic every Saturday afternoon on bbsradio.com/don't panic, it's organic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, better known around the world as the Invisible Gardener.
Oh, it's organic. No chemicals to make birds sick. I don't die. Oh, it's organic. No way that nature intended it.
That was my friend Jeff Garroway. He did that for me way back in 19, I was going to say 80 something. So, hi, thank you for tuning into my show. The show is called, of course, Don't Panic, It's Organic. I got the name in 1970. I owned a trademark to it as well as the Invisible Gardener. So today is March 23rd, 2019. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic on bbsradio.com, my favorite of folks. And so today we're going to continue our talk about rock dust and trace minerals.
Springtime gave the flower garden all. Every flower answered to the call. Roses dressed in robes of sparkling dew, they were there to gladly welcome you. Daisies in their gowns of snowy white, bunny hugs with puppies left and right. Pink carnations lightly crept around, over clover blossoms on the ground. Violets were swaying in the breeze to the music of the bumblebees. Roses do turkey trots with the sweet forget-me-nots. Hummingbirds hum haunting melodies.
Well, that's a song that was sent to me by one of my listeners. Said, "Hey, Andy, I think you would like this. It's called A Flower Garden Walk." So I'm starting a little collection of them, you know, and I'll play them as well as play them with my music that I write, you know. let me put this over here so that we can just do this. Called Lady of the Woods. This week, I think I've done about five songs. And you're all going to hear first right here, right after the show on the Cosmic Spaceship. So I'm lucky enough to get to two shows and right back to back, and people ask me, well, what's going on? And I guess you guys will have to figure it out. So we have an ongoing contest. This is this week and next week. I think it's next Saturday. I think it's the first. I'm looking for my iPhone tends to walk around, you know. You guys have the same problem. You put it down and next you know the iPhone's somewhere else. I'm going, how'd you get over there? Come back over here, Mr. iPhone. So I don't know what happened to it. It's just went. Anyway, I think next Saturday is the start of April, which is the, actually, we already went through our first day of spring. Oh, look at that. We already went through our first day of spring. That's why I had the spring song. That's why it was sent to me, the first day. Of, you know, it's a garden walk. It's all about spring and everything. Yeah, the 30th. No, wait. So this, in March, it looks like this guy, we got one more, because it has a 29th, and it has a 30th and a 31st. So the 30th, we have one more Saturday to go. This is one of those 5 Saturdays. Cool, we have an extra Saturday. I bet you the guys like it here because you get a little extra money, you know, get that Mercedes they want, you know. And so you have 2 more weeks left to enter the contest. And I tell people that the easiest way, if you're not getting the newsletter, the easiest, what you have to do is you go to my website, invisiblegardener.com, look for on the bottom of the homepage, on every page, I'll say, sign up for the newsletter. It's also on the menu there. And sign up to get the newsletter. As soon as, what happens is that the first time you sign up, I get an email saying, hey, you got somebody signed up, blah, blah. And that goes into a special folder for that month. And the only way you can enter, then you get automatically entered for that month. So anybody who subscribes to get the newsletter that particular month, they will get entered into the contest. Every month is a little different what you win. You do win a free lifetime membership every month, but in addition, you get other different things with it. So this month, for example, folks are going to get the Rock Dust, Mr. Gardner's Rock Dust Blend, which is normally about $50 plus shipping. So you'll get that. You don't even have to pay for shipping. I'll send it to you. then next month, I'm giving away the Grower's Kit. And the Grower's Kit, it has a quart of super seaweed, which is an invention of mine. It's called a microbiological activator. It's what I make a living from. Basically, one of the things I do is spray people's properties with this. Every month is slightly different. Make sure it depends upon the time of year, what's going on in the environment, how toxic it is, because a lot of times if people's properties are so toxic, you have to do something a little bit different. And then in the Grower's Kit, you also get the Rock Dust Blend. So you have the two together. Makes a really nice way to be helping your property, help your plants. You'll get that next week. Next month, that would be April. And also because April is Earth Day month, I tell people make every month Earth Day. Everything that you buy on my website and through the store, with the exception of the 99 cents ebooks, but if you buy my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic, you can get the print version of it, it's $20. You'll get a lifetime membership to the club automatically. You'll get something that says you're a member. This is what you do, how you get the podcast. That holds 10 yards. If you buy the ebook version, which is $10, you become a member. Also, if you buy the Rock Dust the Rock Dust Blend, you become a member. If you buy the by the way, when you buy the Rock Dust, you also get the ebook Rock Dust. Free, you get to download that right away as well. But since you're a member, you're going to be able to download all of the books. There's 21 books up there, ebooks. People have been asking me for the Kindle version, but Amazon won't let me make a Kindle version to give away. You have to buy the Kindle version from Amazon. Then after that, you have to enter the contest every month in order to possibly win that month, right? And so the only way you can enter the contest is by in the newsletter, which I produce several times a month. I try to do it every week, but some people say that's too much, so I do it every other week. Try to figure out the balance of it. You know, there's a button that says click on this link to enter the contest. It should say to enter the contest, click here. Right now, members have asked me, so well, what do they get? Because as a member, they don't need a lifetime membership, they already have that, right? So, let me see. I want to make sure that we're doing good here because I'm not getting any, nothing's happening from I know what I did wrong. Okay, there you go. No, there you go. Take snapshot. I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing over here? Conversation. There you go. Just in case the engineer has something to say, I usually have to keep an eye on this. case somebody calls, you know. So let's see. So today, and anyway, members, they have a members corner on the newsletter. You get a members corner. Things have to do with members. You can't even, you can click on and try to get into it, but you have to be a member to log in, you know. So members corner will say, click here to enter the contest. And it goes into the members page for members only, right? So, and members will get something different because they already, they don't need a lifetime membership. So they'll get the Raktas or the T-shirt or whatever that particular month is for members. Okay, next month we're doing Natural Pest Control Month. So I'm going to be showing you about the long-term and short-term solutions. I always teach people the long-term. There's a long-term and there's a short-term solution. I have some coffee around here somewhere. Even the coffee cups move around. It's kind of weird. I put it over there. Next thing you know, it's over here. Then before you know it, it moves over there. What's going on? This place is haunted. Oh, so if I got a mental picture from one of you people out there wanting to know how do I you talk to me, right? Because I'm here for you. So if you want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, questions, you can call me up right on the air and we can talk. Or you can email me. So my email is andylopez@invisiblegardener.com. Please spell it right because it won't get there here otherwise. People say, there's something wrong with your email. I go, well, let me see. Where'd you send it to? And they spell invisible wrong and Gardener wrong. You got to get it right. That's why the newsletter helps a lot because it helps you get the – and you can actually send me email through the newsletter, which is an easy way because it all goes into a certain box. Anyway, so but if you want to talk to me on the air, I would prefer in the long run, and you know, if you knew, you know you're going to talk to me, that you have a question, that you send me email saying, Andy, I would like to be on your show and talk about this. And I, you know, you ask me the question, whatever it is. That way I can look it up and try to figure, you know, think about it a little bit. I mean, I'm good on the spot, but if I have a little bit of time, I can write it down, get it all together for you. I will make a date for you to come on the air. And we'll talk about that. You don't have to know your last name or anything, just the first name and what city, right? And what part of the world you're at. But if you want to, if you get the urge to call me and talk to me now, there are several ways you can do that. Of course, we use Skype. So you want to, if you, you can use this, there's a call letters to call Skype on. You can call this station here at BBS Radio PR, all lowercase. That'll get you right to the engineer. You can also call the 800 number, which is 888-627-6008. Or you can call 323, which is a direct line, 323-744-4831. If you're listening to the show, I'm assuming you have all this together because it's kind of like a catch-22, you know. I can tell you, go to the website to listen to my show, but you're already listening to my show, so you must have gotten it somehow. You're probably getting the podcast. Very good for you. Very good. And when you win the membership, you one of the things you have to do is a little bit confusing for people, and I have to figure out how to make it happen automatically, is that when you subscribe, you become a member, you also get the members podcast. And what you have to do, people say, well, now I'm getting two podcasts because they get the free Don't Panic, It's Organic podcast, and then they get the members podcast. It's almost essentially the same thing, except that I have a variety of other shows. I have the show coming up, The Cosmic Gardening. I also have WTF show. It's What the Frack, in case you people are dirty-minded. It's about two aliens, a group of aliens that come to Earth, and it's all about what's going on with them. You know, they have a hard time fishing. They can't go any other places they like to go. They have the stuff, plastic and radiation. It's a long story. I also have another show called, it's an audio book show. So I read my book out a chapter every week or as much as I can. I read throughout it. And then people have a lot of people really like that. And where I interject my own things into my own book, right? that's called the audio book. I have another one called What's in Your Garden. And these are done in other station, the one I'm working on now. I suppose it's okay for me to mention the rival station, even though it's not really a rival station. But I've been on other stations. These are internet stations, which makes it very difficult for callers to talk to me. I used to do a brick and mortar where I would drive to the studio, get into a nice studio, you know, and people will call me. And I loved that because people will call me while they're driving. I'm not supposed to do that, but or they call me when they're in the park or they're sitting there listening to the show on the FM station or the AM. It was an FM station. The last one I went to was in Santa Barbara, and it covered the whole Santa Barbara area, all the way down here to Malibu and up north, you know. So it was kind of cool. People could listen to it. Plus, it was also simulcast on other stations. One of the reasons I came here is so that this is a real easy way for you to call me and talk to me, right? Okay, so that's where I get the name Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's actually, I own the trademark, the copyright to it, different trademark. But it's really online classes. I do free online classes, and this is an online class. Okay, let's see. What am I supposed to do next here? Oh, yeah, I want to do this some more. I love that. Don't you like that? That was called Lady of the Woods. okay, so let's see. I assume that everybody's happy. Let's see. Where is my looking for my Skype button there? So make sure that nothing's missing or somebody. Because if Mr. Engineer has something to say, he'll just start talking to my ear. So that's an easy way to deal with it. Okay, so then I'm also going to next month. I'll do pests of fruit trees, pests of roses, you know, natural and control. I think I'm going to try. I work in conjunction with a local natural pest control company. I used to do ant treatments, right? But as I get older, I find that there happens to be natural pest control companies around, and they. I'd rather they do it than me. I'm not going to do it. I have this one property that I work with, big place, and he has over 100 what I call them ant cafes, 100 of them. And I had a hard time just putting four around. Anyway, I call them ant cafes. So we're going to have one of my books is called Dances with Ants. So I do natural pest control with the ants. And I tell people it's like us. Captain Kirk told Spock, we're not going to kill today. You don't have to kill the ants. My other book is called Natural Pest Control, Alternatives to Chemicals for the Home and Garden. My first book was How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time. I have 21 of them all together. I have two or three more I'm working on coming up. I'm actually doing one called Invisible Gardener that I'm also doing energetic healing. Sorry about the crinkle of this thing. Anyway, so, my latest book is Don't Panic, It's Organic. It's a collection of everything that I have learned in this field.
Kimberly, line one, Kimberly.
Oh, somebody's calling. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Andy.
How are you?
My question, I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. So what's up?
Well,
oh, wait, you have the hibiscus lady, right?
Yeah, I'm in Port St. Lucie, Florida, yeah. And
yeah.
I wanted to ask you about I want to buy the grower set, but I'm not sure what I need because I'm in South Florida. And what's happening is where I am is aphids attack my plants. And so I know I need to feed the soil. I need to take care of the soil first and try to get as much dirt off the plant and then put the good stuff in and plant them in that. But my other question is, years ago when I lived in Palm Beach County, I had a night blooming jasmine and it did really well. And then I bought another plant and I put it on my patio, which is enclosed in a bird cage, and it got attacked by aphids. So I'm wondering, can you not have a night blooming jasmine in an enclosed patio that has the netting, the bird cage, or was it just a matter of having more healthy soil?
Well, lots of things to take into account. You had it indoors. Was it getting enough light?
Well, it wasn't indoors. It's in a patio, so the sun was there.
But it was getting plenty of sun. How about how many hours a day?
Oh, probably six hours, I think, about six, yeah, where I put
Okay, so see, so they should get 8 hours a day minimum. So it was probably not getting enough light and, you know, direct sun. Some of them, this was a night blooming jasmine, right? They like a full sun, don't they, right?
I guess so, but I'm wondering, do they need to be pollinated? Like, because these are not coming into my enclosure.
They don't need to be pollinated. No, not at all. The biggest thing about them is that you want them to flower, right?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Right. And you want them to cover, because I'm old Florida boy. I've lived in Gainesville, Miami, Homestead. I know where you're at. I lived on both coasts, you know.
Wow.
I'm actually thinking of moving back to Lateral County. But I have grown night-blooming jasmine. I grow them for customers here and other places. Here's the thing about them. It's very similar with the hibiscus, is that they get attacked. And when the bug attacks them, right, it's because they're not getting all the food and vitamins that they need, right, and minerals that they need, right? And so one of the things that happens is that if they don't get enough light, see, they need the light for photosynthesis, right, to convert it into food. And then they need to have the food available to convert it. So what happens is they get stressed out because they don't get the stuff in the bugs. No, on top of that, probably you brought them when you bought the in the container, right? And you brought them home, right?
Yep, nursery, yeah.
It's in the soil. So, because I recently, a person did the same thing. They said, I bought these plants, I planted them, and next thing you know, they were just covered with whiteflies, aphids, mealybugs, all kinds of stuff. And what happened? Well, they're in the soil, because in a nursery, they spray like crazy to keep them alive. Just did you get them? And of course, if you're not spraying, they're going to get it. And on top of that, they were not happy. They're not getting the nutrient they need. You know, they were probably giving some kind of chemical fertilizer, pushing them to grow. So they have to go through this transition thing. So when here's the thing. When you go to the nursery, you need to get some organic potting soil and literally repot them. Take them out of the container they're in. You have to do it out of the sun, you know, because the sunlight, if they hit the roots, will kill the plant. You can literally do it at night. I do it at night. That's the best time, you know, or the evening, afternoon, as soon as the sun goes down, not so bright. And then but take all the soil off, repot it in a new container could be fine if you get a porcelain container or whatever. Repot it in a good organic potting soil, right? And you'll find that the bugs will stay. You want to throw that away. Don't put it around on the ground or whatever, right? You throw that away, and then they'll have a much better start. And what's good about the organic potting soil is that it also has good organic nutrients in it already, right?
Right.
Right. It'll have earthworm castings, whatever else that comes from the organic potting soil, right? So it'll start to get the nutrients, but there's a lapse in time when it's getting food. In other words, when it's at the nursery, they're probably not there very long. What, a month maybe there, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Before it gets sold. Yeah. But then in the growing process, it was never grown. See, there are no organic nurseries out there. You can go out and buy organic anything, right? Other than maybe vegetables, right?
I know. Yeah.
Right. Sure. So that makes it a little difficult. So what you have to do is you have to understand first, it's like a junkie. I'm going to take him off the drugs, but first I got to give him something else that's not as bad, right? have to help him make it through this change. Okay. So you have to first repot it. And this goes, you know, is your hibiscus in a container too?
Nope. It's in the ground, but I did put all new soil.
All right, so I'll talk about the hibiscus in the center in a second. So what you want to do is, okay, you repotted it, and that now you know that, so what happens is you're probably going to get some bugs going to come out anyway because they're probably hidden in their roots, lots of different ways that they can survive. It's just one little one survives, you're going to get hundreds of them, right? You know what I mean? That's what happens, you know? Or it may be from your neighbor or some other, lots of ways. It could be on your clothing, lots of ways to get the little suckers. So there's two things you have to do. One is you have to, of course, talk to the plant, say, okay, everything's cool, everything's fine, don't worry about it, play some music. Here is some food for you. That's why I invented super seaweed as a foliar. Anything you spray on the plant will get absorbed by the plant. Got it, right?
Okay. Can I do that
the rock dust,
in the daytime?
Go ahead. Oh yeah, the foliars, you can spray that other than, you know, when it's 99 degrees outside and it's sitting in the sun, you don't want to do that. But if it's in a porch and you can spray at night. Normally you don't spray anything, even water. If you spray water on the plant, it's over 90 degrees, it'll burn the plant, just water.
Wow.
So and there are lots of different organic products on the market now that you could buy. See, Super Seaweed is not a fertilizer.
Yeah, no, I know.
I know, but here's the thing. Okay, so there are lots of really good organic fertilizers. So when you buy the organic potting soil, you say, I want an organic fertilizer. If you look at the organic, for example, Dr. Earth, you ever heard of Dr. Earth's organic fertilizers?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes, I saw
wonderful.
It on Facebook,
absolutely wonderful. You look in the back, you'll see a mycorrhizae, all the microbes, all organic fertilizer stuff. And what you can do is you can take a little bit of that. In the process of repotting, put some in the potting soil, mix it in, not too much, just a little bit when you plant it. And then you take some of that, like I would take a cup of that, put it in a pantyhose, make a tea bag out of it, and let it sit in some nice, clean, normally I have a garden filter that filters out the city water, because the city water's got the bromide, chloride, whatever else in it, right, to kill the bacteria. You don't want that.
Right.
You want it, rainwater, so that's why rainwater is so good, see, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you make a tea out of it. You put it like maybe half a cup in a pantyhose, tie it into a ball, get a couple gallons of water. They have these buckets of like 5 gallons. Distill the water. You can, you know, it's called, there's actually several different garden filters on the market now that you can buy, very inexpensive, that you can plug into your, screw into your bib, you know, and then you could filter out the water. You could use that. And what I would do is let it sit, you know, what I do is I get a stick and let it hang in the bucket, squeeze it every once in a while, let it sit overnight. And you take that, you want to put it in a pantyhose because it acts like a natural filter. Because when I was a kid, I used to dump it in, stir it up and put it in my sprayer and clog up my sprayer, right?
Exactly,
so you
want
to, so you have it like a little garden, like a little filter you make, you know, and that stuff will make you hundreds of gallons, by the way. You don't throw it away, you fill it up again. And it's actually very good for the hibiscus, any other plants you have, because here is a natural organic fertilizer that good for the plants, won't stress them because chemical fertilizers makes it, right?
Yeah.
That'll help them. And you can spray it on the leaves. You spray it on the leaves and they start absorbing. And here's the other thing, too. There are other things you can add to it that will kill the whiteflies and mealybugs and anything else that's totally safe, okay? Totally safe and clean to use. So the first thing you want to do is the long term is you get the container, the soil that's growing in together. You can't do that with anything in the ground. You have the problem in the sense that you can't pull it out, redo it, and pull it back in again.
Exactly.
So what you have to do is you have to add it to the ground, and it takes a while for it to get down in there and work. Any compost you add, anything you add, it's going to be like 6 months to a year before that thing breaks down and becomes available, right?
Yikes.
Okay. So one of the advantages of the liquid, you can not only spray it, but you can pour it around the base of the plant and get it down in there, right? Okay, so that's a long-term solution, getting the soil together, and it takes a while for that together. You're fertilizing with your liquids, which is instant. They get it right away. You spray it on them. There are lots of different things you can make there that are really cool for foliar spraying. You can learn really easy. There are lots of things you can spray that, for example, milk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Milk.
Organic or regular?
Well, of course. When I say milk or coffee or anything, just put the word organic in front, because what's the point? Coffee. Coffee is great to use, not the chemical coffee, right? Because coffee is more pesticide than cotton, right? So it's always organic, whether it be organic milk, organic coffee, organic garlic, you know, anything like that. Just you want to try to get it organic because there's enough chemicals in there, and you're going to concentrate if you're using the chemicals. But the milk is great. One cup of milk. One part to 10 parts. So if you have a 9 parts of water and 1 part milk, see?
Mm-hmm.
So you have 1 cup to 9 cups. And the milk is, what milk does is calcium, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drink your milk for your calcium, right?
Right.
Right, so calcium
is
very
important. I don't think carried, but I know what you're saying.
Well, calcium is very important for plants, just like it is for humans,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so one of the things that's missing that the people don't give him when they are, Sirius is talking. Calcium, remember the nursery where they give you, they spray stuff and they use a chemical fertilizer. Well, most chemical fertilizers don't have calcium in it. And lots of other things. You need 90 trace minerals. Calcium is not a trace mineral. It's very important for the plant, for the function of the plant. Right? And one of the things that bugs don't like is calcium. So if you're deficient, if your plant's deficient in calcium, it tells the bug, ooh, food time. See?
So am I spraying that or pouring it? I'm going to pour that?
No, it won't do you any good to pour it. You want to spray it because the calcium will be absorbed through the leaves. Okay? The other thing that's really good about the milk, you know how milk goes bad? Is the bacteria in it. Well, that bacteria and the bugs do not get along, nor does it any diseases with it will get along with that. So when you're spraying this mixture, you're also spraying this bacteria on it that the bugs and diseases don't like. And that's a reaction right away. So you spray the calcium, the plant will absorb it right away. At the same time, it will protect it from bugs, if it has it. Mm. Now, one of the things that I do is, do you drink coffee with cream and sugar?
I don't drink coffee at all, but,
okay, so most people drink coffee. I drink coffee. I drink organic coffee, and I have organic cream and some honey. Well, that very same mixture right there is perfect because coffee, right, caffeine kills everything, believe it or not, okay? So I use is called cold brewed coffee. You know what that is?
Yes, I've seen it in the bottles.
Right, so you get organic cold brewed coffee, right? Instead of the chemically grown cold brewed coffee, because that stuff is concentrated, okay? So if they use whatever chemicals they use, is going to be in there more stronger. So if it's grown organically without the chemicals, then you can say, okay, that concentrated coffee should be okay. It doesn't have the chemicals. It's just mainly the caffeine in the coffee, right? So the cold brew coffee will kill the whiteflies, it'll kill the mealybugs, it'll kill anything on contact.
Okay. Any particular brand or any brand is fine, Andy?
Well, when I go to the store, my local health food store, I buy the cold brew coffee. I'm finding that there's so many different varieties on the market. You go on the internet, you can find cold brew coffee, whatever varieties available. The thing to do then is to say, okay, well, I don't need to spend $40 for this cold brew coffee when I can get it for $10.
Right.
It's organic.
Right,
as long as it's organic, you don't have to really go for the gourmet coffee, right? Right? In Malibu, I can buy cold brew coffee for $40, but I can go over to my Trader Joe's and buy organic cold brew coffee for $5.
Yeah.
See, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the biggest difference. You should be able to find them on the internet. Just don't buy chemically grown. But so cold brew coffee. So you have basically got maybe 8 ounces or 2 cups of cold brew coffee. You can put that into 3 gallons, 5 gallons of water. That'll kill anything you spray. Right? Now here's the trick. See, so you can actually mix things together. So when you're doing your spraying, you have to feed the plants, right? You're spraying. Might as well add a little milk to it or a little bit of cold brew coffee or the two together. They work really well because as a kid, I learned about photosynthesis. I'm sitting in the class and the teacher says, they take sunlight and then convert it into sugar. I said, well, can't we help them by giving them sugar? She said, oh, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You have to do it through the sun. Well, guess what? You can.
You can do it.
They actually have agricultural molasses that farmers are learning to spray on their plants because the plants absorb the sugar. It gives them an energy boost. And on top of that, sugar is what transfers the minerals. So if you have organically grown molasses, minerally, what's iron, all the good stuff that's in molasses, right? They're going to get it too. Isn't that cool?
But this is a molasses or any molasses?
Well, you want to get organic molasses. I get Granny Smith organic molasses.
Okay.
Because you can go to a store and walk around.
Like a blackstrap molasses or something?
Yeah, I used to buy Granny Smith molasses because that's easy. You can get like a quart of it. But because I spray a lot, so I buy organic agricultural molasses, I can get it a lot cheaper. I get a 55-gallon drum of it and use it throughout the months, and it doesn't cost me as much as that little bottle of that, right? But you don't need that much. You can go to a store and buy to your local health food store. Do you have any organic molasses? Right? You know? But here's the thing. There's another thing that kills whiteflies and stuff, and that's garlic. And remember I said you can mix it. Well, you can't really mix it because as a kid, when I made a mistake, I got milk. I got coffee. Right? And I was making my mixture. I decided, well, I'm going to add garlic to it. And I go, ooh, boy, that's it's a strange smell because you don't know if you like it or hate it. Right? It's like, ooh, garlic, coffee. Ooh. So I wish to spray one or the other because I don't know too many people that can handle that kind of smell, coffee and garlic together. It's kind of weird, right? But garlic will kill anything. So what you do, see, they have on the store, you can go and buy a gallon of garlic. It's called garlic barrier. They have another one called mosquito barrier. It just so happens that garlic kills everything. It also kills mosquitoes and flies really easily. Right? Really easily. One of my books is called How to Keep Mosquitoes from Biting You. And it's a really short book because it's basically all you do is you buy a clove of garlic, you cut it in half and put it in your shoes. You'll smell like garlic. The mosquitoes won't touch you. Right? See, I mean, your friends won't touch you either. Animals won't touch you. It's like
nobody will touch you. People,
right? But garlic will kill kill like if you're so with a hibiscus. So you know what to do with a container plant. Next time you go to the store, repot it before you put it in there. Make sure you have start giving it the food right away so they start getting this nutrition. Make sure it gets enough sunlight. It should do the biggest problem with that plant would be you may need it in a bigger container because you want to have some structure for it to grow on, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Get like a little arbor or something. It'll climb right up. But if it's a small container, it's going to have a hard time. I got my next door neighbor bought a grape. Put it in a container. I said, you're kidding me, right? That's a grapevine that needs it in soil. So if you can put it in the ground, it'll probably do better. Otherwise, get yourself a nice big container with a tray on the bottom, right? And it should do really good as long as it's getting all the right amount of light that it needs. It needs 8 hours of light, basically. Like, just like a tomato plant. Okay. If you can grow a tomato plant in there, have you grown tomatoes in there? No.
No, I've not tried fruit yet. I wanted to try to get the ornamental.
Well, okay, you obviously have a big porch, right?
Yeah.
Cool. That's great. But I've had porches before, you know. It's just a matter of make sure you get enough light, right? And then you make sure you don't overwater because that's if you water too much. You want to keep them on the light on the slightly dry side because water will kill the will waterlog the soil and kill the natural bacteria in there and stuff like that. So that will help that in the long run. Just and there are different varieties. Make sure you get the white right type that you like. The night blooming jasmine is about 10 different varieties of them that you can buy. Usually your local nursery should sell you what should grow in your area, right?
They do.
And then for the hibiscus. That's the same kind of deal with hibiscus is that, see, people say hibiscus are always attacking white flies. Well, they attack a lot of other things too, you know. But some things are just more susceptible to it just because the way they've been hybrid and the way they've been, because you don't find hibiscus in nature, right?
Right.
Right? In the forest, you go in the jungle, you're not going to see a giant hibiscus tree, right?
It's just it's a pretty tree. It's just for looking at.
Right, so what you have to do is you have to work on the soil, giving it a good live compost, some nice mulch. Usually the pH is what the problem is. I talk a lot about, you know what a pH is?
Yes, I do.
What? What is
how it? How to check it and everything. Well, it's the amount of alkalinity, is it?
Yeah,
it's
whether alkaline or acid, the soil.
Or
right.
acid. Well,
The microbial life that you want to, that are really the good guys, they live in a certain range of pH, usually between 6.5 and 6.8 or 6.9. That's the pH. 7 is neutral. Okay, so one of the good things about organic potting soil is that it's a neutral pH. You can grow a lot of stuff in it. But your soil, where the hibiscus is growing in, I bet you anything that Florida is alkaline. Do you know?
Okay,
so it's alkaline. That means that your soil is alkaline and you need to acidify it more because normally, it depends in nature, things fall on the ground, pine needles, stuff like that, which will help to acidify it, right? Animals go to the bathroom and pee and all that stuff, it helps to acidify it. So what you need to do is, see, compost by nature is alkaline because, the way they make it. So what you really want to do is you want to acidify your soil by adding, it's called azalea gardenia mix, because azaleas are gardenia, they need soil acid, right? So you want to give them, mix that in with your compost and put that around the plant and turn it over. And then you want to, this is one of the things you could do with coffee, okay? So coffee grinds, right? So you have to go like to a Starbucks or a restaurant or something and say, I would like some, is this organic coffee, right? No, forget about Starbucks. They don't have organic coffee. You have to go to a restaurant and say, you know, you have organic coffee. I would like your organic grinds, right? And you, and then you take the grinds, you turn that into the, you know, turn it over into the soil. It takes a few months. So every quarterly, winter, spring, summer, and fall, you give it some of that. Or since you have the cold brew coffee already, you can buy another bottle of cold brew coffee, dump it into 5 gallons of clean water, and pour that around the base of the plant. That'll help to acidify the soil.
All of it, right?
You take the whole quart of the cold organic cold brew coffee, dump it into 5 gallons of water, stir it up, right? Then I would dump that into around the base of the plant. That'll help to acidify the soil. At the same time that you're doing that, you want to foliar spray the plant with the same mixture, same liquid that you just made from the pantyhose, a tea bag. Spray that on the leaves, upper part of the leaves. Then you can add, you can do the very same thing. If it's got bugs, you know, you can either do the coffee, because you can do the really easy, you add that coffee to your spray, or you can decide, okay, I'm going to do some milk, spray that to it, or the garlic, you know, one or the other, right? And all of them will work. It's up to you. It's up to what you feel. You know, I don't mind the smell of garlic, or, hey, I'd like coffee, I'll spray that. There are other things you can spray, too. You just have to learn. You want to start slowly, because, for example, have you ever heard of Dr. Bronner soaps?
Yes. Yes, I use them.
Right. So
peppermint.
Right. Peppermint, lavender, eucalyptus, almond, tea tree oil. Well, all of those are essential herbs that they're basically is an essential oil, but it's in the form of a soap. And you have to be careful with that, because, you know, when you spray soap, you can burn it because it's too hot. So you have to go along a little bit. You can literally add a tablespoon in a gallon of water and spray it. You see, spray the plants, which the bugs would not like.
Wow. Okay.
Right, so you have a couple of different things there. So the key, the long term is make sure they're getting the food they need, and then the short term is how can I deal with that particular bug, right? The safe and clean way to deal with it. Once you get the bugs off, some will keep coming back until the plant gets it together enough to protect it on its own.
Okay. Now, I have a question. When I'm spraying the leaves, do I spray the both sides of the leaves?
Yes, ma'am.
I know. Probably a dumb question, but okay.
Not only do you spray the leaves, but you spray the trunk too. So the hibiscus, you spray the trunk too. When I spray trees, I spray the trunk, and I try to soak it around the ground. Because I spray mainly what I spray year-round is the super seaweed, one version of it or another. I have different versions depending upon the time of year, whether I want to make things bloom more or not. Mainly it's just all bacteria and microbes and minerals in it, you know. So you want to learn. That's a very cool thing to do. You get yourself a little 3-gallon sprayer, and you spray the leaves, you spray the trunks, you spray everything around it. One of the problems with spraying, I've learned, is that, you know, winds will blow things on you. So if you're spraying garlic or coffee, you may get a little dizzy because you're getting it on you, right?
Right,
so you have to be careful about that too. But the spraying works really well, and that'll help. And you spray the underside and the upper part, especially if you're going for bugs. So if you're going for bugs, you spray the upper part, and you spray the underneath, and you spray the trunk, and you soak the ground around it.
Okay.
You won't have to do that all the time, because once you get really good at that, what?
Make sure drench it, or just lightly spray.
You want to soak it, you know, especially if you're doing it for bugs, because you want them to get the mixture on them. To, you know, you can even take it and just spray them, wash it off. A lot of times you can do, if it's really bad, I spray it, but I can also spray it like onto a rag and wipe it up down with it, you know, help it wipe down. It also works for all kinds of bugs that have scales on them, you know. It'll get rid of them as well. And the thing is, you have to, so the garlic and the coffee, and the garlic mm-hmm. and the soap, you have to be careful to spray also beneficials, right? You don't want to spray the bees and stuff like that because it will affect them as well.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And
okay,
one other thing.
How do I keep from getting them?
From what?
I guess, no, what you're saying is when I spray, make sure I spray when the sun's going down so it's not so hot and doesn't burn them up. Is that right?
That's nuts. Talk, say it again. I don't understand
okay.
you.
Okay. So when I spray, I should spray when the sun is not so hot.
Right. So ideally, see, that's how I got the name Invisible Gardener, because I would go out there at night. My best time is when the bugs are active. If you know something's eating your plants or something, you go, well, I got to catch this person. Well, you go out at night, you know, right. or earlier in the morning. Like over here, when we're getting 100-degree temperatures, you don't want to be spraying. I spray at night. You go out there with a flashlight or you have a light, you know. I go under the light of the full moon. That's one of the best ways to do it. You go out at night and then you see the bugs and you can spray them direct. Hey, what you guys doing, huh? What's happening? Right?
You're better with snakes than I am because snakes sometimes come out and I'm like, oh, okay, you can have it.
Kimberly, one other thing before you hang up is make sure you give the engineer your email because you just won a free lifetime membership, okay?
I already won one. Thank you.
Oh, you did? Did you send me your? Oh, you're the lady that didn't send me your address.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll send it to you. But I wanted to coordinate with you because I wanted to, you know, buy the stuff so then you can put it all together and you don't have to incur this.
I understand. I appreciate that because I'm going to send you the book and the membership.
Okay.
And I could easily put it all into one big box. If you want to get the super seaweed or anything else, I just put it into the bulk mailing thing, you know, and you can get it that way. Make sure you email me back your address because I emailed you a couple of times. I need the address because I can't send it, you know. Okay.
No problem. Yeah. Well, good. The fire happened, so, you know, there was a lot of chaos around that time.
Yeah, we've been having fun here since the fire, and then we had the rains. I only worked five days last month in February. Couldn't go out and do anything in the rain.
Wow.
You know, it just makes it difficult. But it's interesting. You know, you have to out of the fire comes a phoenix, and there's a whole new life, a new thing. The main thing people are having now is that they're having a problem because of the soil is so toxic. And people they're rebuilding right on top. You know, they're not even paying any attention to the toxicity of the soil, right? They're just building their home again. They're going to have problems down the road because that soil is toxic. How can you even grow anything, let alone put your hand in it, right?
Right.
So do you listen to my Cosmic Spaceship show?
No, but I only just found out about the member. I guess you can say it, but I just only become a conscious that you had other shows going on. So, I'll check them out.
I got another show directly after this one. I write music and I do artwork, but I've been wanting to do a show based on music. I don't know why I keep getting stuff out there like somebody that Skype is talking to me or something else. I'm getting weird things. But I really appreciate you listening in. And, I miss Florida. I would like to go back there. I'm a Key West boy myself.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
You know?
Well, Florida. Yeah. It's beautiful. Sure.
I know, and it's going to be interesting. If I move down to the Keys, as this guy has his house that goes up and down with the ocean, right? So you can raise it up, lower it down, and it's hurricane proof. It's made of steel. That's probably what's going to be the future because, you know, everything's happening so fast that you have to be able to, you know, like Miami Beach, erasing everything up. They have a law now, right?
Oh,
nothing on the first floor. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. When you go down there, it's floods for hours.
I like Florida though. I think on your side, this my favorite thing to do was seashells. Collect seashells.
I mean, the hurricanes are a problem.
Same
problem. The hurricanes and the intense heat, but you know, you got everything. Every place has something.
Yeah, I know. And over here, I have to deal with fires, the potential for earthquake, you know, meteorites, meteorites crashing to Earth.
Well, it was a pleasure talking with you. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you for listening to my show, okay?
No problem. Thank you.
Bye now. So you see, that's what it's all about. Because, you know, I can talk by myself. And I've been doing it, talking to myself for a long time. A guy called me the other day. He says, "You're the crazy left-wing nut." I go, "Well, thank you. You're the crazy right-wing nut." And I don't do politics, but he seems to think that climate change is political, which is really isn't. It's a very serious problem. But anyway, that's what the show is about, is people calling me and helping specifically, because I'm really, really, really very good at helping you deal with these types of pest control problems. That next month, that's what I want you to do. Feel free to call me up. I got ants. I got gophers. I got roaches. I got fleas. I got ticks. One lady says, "I got fleas." I said, "Lady, but maybe you should take a bath." "No, no, no. It's not me." I got a call once from a captain of a submarine. He says, "You know, Andy, we almost killed ourselves because we were down there like 100 feet or something, and we had ants or some bug, and we decided to kill it, and we sprayed Raid." You do not want to spray Raid when you're in a submarine. So what should we do? Then I got another call from a police officer on a motorbike. He says, "I'm texting you. I'm on a motorbike. I listen to you on my headphones, a podcast." He got the podcast. So he had the urge to ask a question, so he texted to me. That was the time I was doing the brick and mortar show, you know, where people can just listen to it in all walks of life, which is kind of like here, you know. You can get it on your iPhone now and stuff like that. And he had questions. And then I got another caller from a guy who's on a boat out to sea. So I love doing that, helping people with specific problems. I tell people I don't do marital problems, but I have saved many of a marriage. The good old boy wants to kill. Jesus wants to kill that bug. So I says, "Tell her, here, give him this, and let him kill it. You'll be happy." She was like, the coffee kills stuff. Believe it or not, it does. Garlic will kill things on contact. Lots of other things that you can use if you have the urge to kill. Me, on the other hand, it's better to not to kill, to understand why the problem is there in the first place. And that's what this whole trace minerals thing is all about. That's what Kimberly, hopefully she understands. It's the trace minerals. See, you think it's the bug, you think it's the disease, because that's what you see. But the bugs, that's their job. It's like a red flag comes up. Wait, I got to go do that. I have to do that. Right? And so that's what I'm trying to convey this. That's why I have a rock dust day, month, right? I might change it to a trace mineral month because it's really all about trace minerals. And rock dust happens to be a natural way of providing the trace minerals. The ocean is a very important part of the trace mineral chain. And I try to tell people there's a direct relationship between the ocean and the land in the soil. The soil feeds the ocean. The ocean feeds the soil. I was getting the other day. Well, last week we had Josh Tickle on, wrote the book Kiss the Ground. And we both acknowledge that it's important that the soil be taken care of. And, you know, when it rains, things wash into the ocean. Now it's chemicals that wash in toxins. But in the old days, the minerals and stuff will be washing into the ocean. The ocean has a way of spreading it out throughout so that everybody gets it. And when it rains, you know, the ocean gets the fresh water, the soil gets the fresh water. But the key is the trace minerals, how the trace minerals are spread out amongst the earth, or, which basically are spread out amongst the animals. There's no coincidence that there's a direct relationship between the health of animals, of the health of birds, the health of insects, the health of trees. As an arborist, I see that direct relationship between a tree, right, a healthy tree, and a not healthy tree. What is it? the relationship. What is the difference? Because that's the first thing I wanted to know is why is these bugs attacking the plant in the first place? I didn't come with the attitude, let's kill the bug. Kill, kill, right? I came with the attitude, well, hey, guys, what's going on that's making you go after that plant or that tree or whatever, right? Same thing with the human body. Why am I being attacked? And there's a reason. There's a reason for everything, right? There's a reason for it. Law, cause, and effect. Very scientific, and it works. And so the talk I was having with this other person says, well, you don't have to do anything. It's all there in the soil. You don't have to fertilize your tree. You don't have to do this mineral stuff. You don't have to do this stuff. It's all in the soil. It's there. And yes, if things were the way they're supposed to be, but they're not. I tell the lady, when was the last time an animal came and died in your place or even pooped or did any of that stuff? You know, just 100 years ago, we had millions and millions of animals roaming around than we do now. You know, the bison, for example, that was 100 years ago easily, right? And they were there for thousands of years. And we have millions and millions of animals, whether it be dinosaurs or whether it be, you know, birds or lions and tigers and elephants. Oh, my. You know what I mean? There was just, and that's what one of the things we're doing is we're destroying things left and right. But that's what happens. Mother Nature provided the minerals, which in the form of the rocks, and the rocks would get crushed from the various different ways. The ice ages, one of the primary things that the ice age does is it crushes the rocks. The glacier crushes the rocks into a fine powder. Then you have the animals who poo-pooed, and the bacteria, the microbiological, because a cow is different than a horse. It's different than a dinosaur. It's different than an elephant on the outside, but also on the inside, in the stomach. They have different microbial life that they provide to the earth. See? So if they can digest stuff, right, they digest the food and stuff like that. The two best types of animal poop, the most nutritional, is the elephant and the earthworm. They're both identical in one way, in and out. The food goes in, it gets processed, and goes right out. I remember trying to get I got a call from Barnum and Bailey Circus. They said, you know, we hear you like animal manure. You want to come and get some elephant poop? I go, okay. And so I went there, and what happened was is that they, since right there, while I was talking to the guy, the guy said, hey, George, didn't I tell you to clean up all the elephant poop? And he said, yes, sir, I did. But by the time I finished that one, they were all pooped right behind me. I can't keep up with them, you know. So I told him, look, why don't you just make a bridge and let the elephant, and put the truck underneath, and the elephant poop, make a little toilet for them, and the elephant go up there and poop. And it drops right into the truck, and you can take it away. Oh, that's a good idea. So I was getting elephant poop from them, which is very difficult to compost because you have to really dry it out and then use it. And when you dry it out, it's hard. And I use a chainsaw. I would make bricks out of them, and then the bricks would be dry. But if you do it right, you don't kill the microbes. Uh-oh, somebody?
Yeah, we got about 60 seconds.
We got 60 seconds. Okay, guys, so I'm going to sign off now for 60 seconds. Thank you for listening to my show, Don't Panic, It's Organic. Please visit InvisibleGardener.com. Join today. That's the best way you can help the show, and I can help you. I'll have a lot of stuff for Earth Day. Everybody gets a free membership, so you don't even have to join. Just buy Super Seaweed or just get my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. $20 book, you get a good deal because you get a $55 membership. The $20 book, you just have to pay like, I think it's $5 for shipping. So thank you very much. Coming up is a cosmic spaceship, and I think it's time to go, so I'm going to go ahead and do this again. Bye now. Remember, don't panic. It's organic.